enjoys the show, but no one realizes all that goes into putting the show on sometimes. Uh-huh. We're going to get tonight's meeting called to order. I'll ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan. Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Laird.
Present.
Ms. Leung.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Colon.
Present. Thank you. Just a couple things. Council members Callahan and Ramsey Smith are joining us remotely this evening. We have been experiencing some technical difficulties. We were able to get Councilman Ramsey Smith issues resolved. Mr. Callahan is trying to resolve them, and he'll be joining us if we're able to work through that. Mayor Reynolds may be joining us late this evening as he had to attend a viewing tonight. Going to move on to approval of minutes from October 15, 2024. Any comments on the minutes from members of council? The minutes stand approved. Continuing on to public comment, we will start with, as is traditional, anything not being voted on this evening. I ask everyone to be mindful of our 5-minute time limit. I'll start with those who signed up in advance. Again, this is for anything not being voted on this evening. I'll start with Ms. Lynn Rothman.
Good evening, Lynn Rothman, 8W Wofford Lane. I'm speaking on behalf of Bethlehem Environmental Advisory Council, on behalf of its members, Ben Felzer, Ben Guthrie, Vivhar Kumar, Mandy Tolina, Mike Topping, and Katie Trembler. In accordance with our EAC bylaws, we've submitted a year-end report, which can be found on our website, BethlehemEAC.org, and tonight I'll summarize that report. Our 2024 meetings have been held both virtually and in person at Northampton Community College Fowler Center. In accordance with the Sunshine Laws, our meetings are open to the public. Our most important work is supporting the city's Climate Action Plan, or CAP, which aims to reduce our carbon footprint, increase sustainability, and utilize alternative energy sources. In order to implement the strategies of the CAP, we continue to work with the administration and participate on 5 of the city's internal CAP committees. Beginning in 2025, we look forward to forming a close working relationship with the city's new sustainability manager. Under our Green Committee, the Heritage Tree Program was activated this year, and we're working with the city forester to expand this program. Bethlehem City is a registered bird town, and the Bird Town Committee submitted our annual report. Out of 4 levels, with 4 the highest, Bethlehem City achieved a level 3. Our Waste Reduction Committee is working with the city's Food and Waste CAP Committee on a survey for local restaurants with the goal of reducing plastic waste. Our Transportation Committee is working with the cities on ways to make electric vehicle chargers available for those that don't have access to a garage. We're collaborating with the Bethlehem Parking Authority and the Departments of Public Works and Planning and Zoning on options for a pilot project. This year, Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife maintained native plant demonstration gardens with the help of community volunteers. These ongoing projects include continued maintenance of the 2 native perennial gardens at the Rose Garden, which Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife designed and planted in 2019. In addition, reinvigoration of the Hoover Mason Trestle garden beds to bring more blooming native perennials and shrubs into these areas. French Gardens Landscape Company has been working with volunteers since September to clear out the overgrown spaces and open up additional spaces for new plantings this spring. At the meadow on the Southside Greenway, the refurbished boundary walkway surrounding the planted areas has been maintained to improve pedestrian access. In the spring and summer of 2025, Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife will continue to work with neighbors to add native perennial wildflowers along some of the fencing at Madison Park on the south side. The Department of Planning and Zoning gives the EAC the opportunity to comment and make recommendations for proposed developments. All of our correspondence can be found on our website. Other EAC activities included tabling at the Rose Garden, North Side Alive's Block Party, Lehigh University's Climate Day, Bethlehem Food Co-op's May Event, and the Rock and Grow Event at the Ice House. Co-sponsoring Monocacy Creek cleanups in the spring and fall through the Monocacy Creek Watershed Association, mentoring Lehigh University students on compost research and the Lehigh Valley Breeds Project, interviewing for a podcast on EACs for the Nurture Nature Center's Create Connections Project, continuing participation in the Lehigh Valley EAC Network, attending the EAC State Network Conference and Fall Gathering, and providing information to and assisting residents with environmental concerns. Our great appreciation goes to Tad Miller, City Clerk, and Bettina Bubba, Assistant City Clerk, for their assistance. Additional appreciation to Stephanie Aguello, Chief of Staff, for facilitating communication with the Mayor's Office. We're grateful to Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, and Craig Pfeiffer, Assistant Director of Planning and Zoning, for the generous amount of time they give working with the EAC, as well as their administrative staff, Stephanie Sebesta. Our thanks to Michael Alcaw, Director of Public Works, and Basil Yandam, Chief of Engineering and Deputy Director of Public Works, for their department's ongoing contributions to Bethlehem City. Special thanks to Chris Sewell, Superintendent of Grounds Maintenance, for his assistance with the Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife projects. We also recognize our City Council liaison, Colleen Lair, for her efforts on behalf of climate action. And finally, we commend City Council and the administration for their support of the CAP, especially the hiring of a sustainability manager. In 2025, we will continue to assist in implementing the goals and strategy of the Climate Action Plan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Rothman. Our next speaker is Mary Jo McCool.
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. A few thoughts to bring to light. I recently obtained my own card allowing me to take my own yard waste to the compost center. In the past, I relied on my neighbor. I would like someone to investigate the traffic lights at that location. Making a left to enter the facility is no problem. Exiting is difficult. Making a turn in either direction is difficult because the light does not change often. The light changes 3 or 4 times per traffic on Eaton Avenue and Shanersville Road. Making a right onto Shanersville Road is an option, but it takes me out of my way to get home. Also, trying to make a right turn on Red after stop can be difficult with the right turn lane on Eaton Avenue to Shanersville Road. My next comment would be, I wish to West Bethlehem had a community center that could be utilized as a polling place. While I understand this is determined by the county, voters would experience less confusion having to try to remember the ward or district where they live. Being told to go to a website while waiting to vote to determine which line to get into to obtain a ballot. In 37 years since I moved to my current home, my polling place has changed 4 times. I'm sure it is not only confusing to the voters, but also to the polling volunteers. Next item, I am not sure if the City Council or the City is aware that BAHX has purchased 2300 Hanover Avenue property outright for approximately $3 million. I am not sure if this provides them with any leverage in the appeals of variances sought. Just wanted to bring this to light in preparing appeal briefs. This purchase will surely motivate Norton Herrick to continue his fight. I hope the city has the same fortitude. And while I understand city sidewalks and neighborhoods are open and free for anyone to enjoy, I just wonder if there are any guidelines for political canvassers. This past weekend, I encountered several and struck up friendly conversations. None wished to listen to my views or perspectives, which is their choice. Trespassing is another issue. While I was walking my dog, I encountered one such canvasser. When our conversation ended, I continued my walk with my dog. When I reached my gate in the backyard, I observed this canvasser running out between two homes to the alley behind mine. He looked both ways. When he saw me, he ran the other way. There are no homes behind me, behind my home. Behind my home is the property that BAHX wants to construct apartments. While they have the right to canvass, I wonder if there are any permits or other legalities necessary. And one final thought, happy Veterans Day to everybody who was a veteran.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Mr. Callahan, can you hear me?
I can.
The issue has been resolved.
Thank you.
And I'll just note, Mr. Callahan is now joining me. Our next speaker, Artie Curtola.
Hi, I'm Artie J. Creek Curatola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'd like to say something about the situation with the homeless. We could eliminate that very easily by getting advocates out there on the street to talk to them. And a lot of them, at least 50%, would be happy to have jobs. They just don't have they can't seem to get it together to file the form and do the interview. But come on. They can have, there's jobs that the city can give them. So try to give these homeless people, at least 50% of them, jobs, help them get a place to stay, to get situated, when making a decent income from the city. You know, start hiring some of the homeless people. Some of them, they have mental problems and they shouldn't be on the streets. Would you put somebody out there on the streets that had an aneurysm or a heart attack or a stroke? Come on. You know, let's be real. Let's start helping those people. The other thing is talking about the streets. Like, some streets are, the streets are so steep going up the hill, like where I live, on Lawford Street. You go up the hill, go towards St. Michael's Cemetery. It's almost vertical. You get vertical walking up the thing. Come on, put some steps there for some of the older people like me. You know, like, it's just a suggestion. The other thing is, to take care of the situation where it comes to putting mail into the mailboxes that is soliciting for different things of that, they can't do that. So what do? They put them on cars, and they wind up on the ground. They become litter. Make it that they can put them in a mailbox, and put their stuff in the mailbox. And what's so hard about that? This way, it won't be litter all over the place. One other thing, to see if we can tweet the article of exotic pets. I mean, like hyenas, they look so cute when they're small. You know, like I was wanting to adopt one, but I can't. We can't do that. Let's make it that we can have exotic pets. We have chickens, okay, to be in Bethlehem. Why not hyenas and, you know, and other different things, cougars and stuff. I mean, I had a pet cougar once. I had to get rid of her because she got too big. My neighbor thought she was going to eat her dog. But the thing is, so, you know, like, I want to get a black Bengal tiger. I mean, you know, come on. Work with me on this, people, please. Make it that we can make exotic pets in Bethlehem. I'm in a good mood, as you can tell. I mean, like, I just won $10,000. A friend of mine came with 100 big ones to me, and I took it to the bank. I want to have to pay bigger taxes now. He made a bet with me that I said, no, my premonitions are always right. He bet that Trump is not going to get it because too many people are talking down about him. It doesn't matter what they said about Trump. Trump could have been in New York City and he could have raped his mother superior at the church at the school that he went to, and he still would have got it. He still would have been there, even though he went to, I don't know what the school was, maybe the Divine Trinity of the Immaculate Conception. I don't know what it was, but anyway, the thing is, Trump, yeah, okay, he won. But have you ever taken notice, though, that the presidents are getting older and older and older? Maybe 20 years from now, I might have a chance. Or maybe we'll have a female president. Maybe one of you ladies will be president. You know, like, hey, it could happen. You know, like, one day we can have... I think the whole world should be run by female leaders, and we'd have a more perfect world. I mean, like, I firmly believe that. But as it is, we better say some prayers for the guy that was elected, that God sends a legion of angels to guide him upon everything that he does. I mean, like, you know, a quick thing before I go. This rabbi goes to this
Mr. Holy Ghost Church. I'm going to ask you to bring it to city business, please.
Oh, but this is city business.
Then get to the city business, please, sir.
This is interesting. I mean, like, there's pretty... priests, they're in the city. I mean, like, they're right, okay. So the rabbi said, after you become priest, what are you going to do? You're going to retire? He said, no, I'm going to go on. I'm going to be Monsignor. He said, how about after that? Well, I'm going to try to be bishop. After that, I'm going to be archbishop. After that, I'm going to try for cardinal. You're going to retire then? No, I'm going to go for pope. Then afterwards, you're going to be really tired. You're going to want to retire. He said, well, what do you want me to be, God? He said, the rabbi said, hey, one of our guys, we did it with three easy steps. He was rabbi, then he retired, then he became God. I'm Jake Hardy Kurtula. God bless.
That exhausts our list of everyone who had signed up in advance. I'll go around the room. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make a comment? Mr. Rodriguez. Again, this is for anything not being voted on tonight's agenda.
You do have a clock.
We'll wait till you get to the left turn.
Can't see it from where I'm at. Eddie Rodriguez, Holy Family Apartments. You know, I Friendship Park. I looked at it. I haven't been here in quite some time. But I was looking at the October 15, I believe that's the date, and you were mentioning something about funding for Friendship Park and a couple other comments. I have a comment. You really don't know what's going to happen later on at Friendship Park. They're spending all this money to put that for the kids over there. It's all good, you know, it's good intentions, but that area right there, I said it all along for the longest time. There's a lot happening in that area that you are not aware of, and I don't want to scare nobody off, but there's a lot. I also saw in that video, when asked about tax dollars being used for garbage by the homeless, there wasn't a mention of $100, $20, and $5. But the thing that struck me was, why was it mentioned when asked and requested that of Ms. Collins, no offense, when she got up on a podium, that was it the Health Bureau that was funding the garbage dollars? But again, there was no answer. And I'm wondering why, I think it was Ms. Cramsey Smith that had asked that question. Why didn't she follow up on that as to what those dollars were used for? And there was no answer from either party. So that struck me right there. Are there tax dollars being used for garbage disposal by the homeless? So, moving on. Holy Family Apartments, where I live in apartment J, was passed by inspectors. I'll go into it because the cracks along the wall where I live, I had to take them off with blue paint tape, because the smoke comes up in there. The other thing is the doors don't meet, top and bottom. The cabinets on the bottom have cracks that I've had to tape off. That is destroying my health because this Fabulosa detergent smell comes up. And now the next door neighbor across the way from me is also the people that clean the hallways are using that product to clean the hallways full strength. That's entering my apartment. And I'm very scared that one day is going to take my life because of the strength of that is not diluted. And if they dilute it, not that I'm aware of. The AC where I live also doesn't block the air from the outside, though it's new, brand new, but it doesn't block it. So I'm constantly turning off whenever I decide to put on the air conditioner. I have to shut it off. I can't use it when I want to. It's brand new. North Penn Legal Services refused twice to take up my case. I really want to put a lawsuit on these people, wholeheartedly, because there is an available apartment. There was other apartments available at the time. 5 and 6 apartments were available, and they didn't give me one. Though they had moved me from 330 to 336, I was grateful for that. But after that, all these problems came in that apartment. That's a failure on the inspector's part, with all due respect. And I saw them in the apartment, yet they didn't meet with me. They're saying that it's all on the outside. We saw nothing from the cameras on the outside. The problem is on the inside of my apartment, not on the outside. But they refuse to take care of the maintenance work whatsoever. They don't do no maintenance work in my apartment. Everybody else, yes. That's wrong. It's wrong. But I put up with it as much as I can. And I have to constantly open up the windows, full blast, and sleep in the cold air. What happens in the winter?
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Is there anyone else still left who wants to make comment tonight? I'll turn to the Wyatt Center. Mr. Shiner.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. Well, piece of positive news to start with. Recently, I praised Gina in Mr. Alcohol's office, and the other day I had the occasion to call again about the leaf collection schedule, and I talked to Angela, and she's just as good as Gina. So there's two of them there,
yes,
who are helpful, friendly, courteous, and kind. That's 4/10 of the Boy Scout pledge. Something not being voted on tonight is the minutes, because they've already been voted on. And I'm pleased to report that they did summarize my comments at the last meeting accurately, which is a good thing, since I did not have an opportunity to comment on them before they were adopted. And about Holy Family Manor, about another aspect there, this former chief gardener's house, when it was the Eugene Grace Estate on Spring Street, they want to demolish it and they erect a 4-unit apartment building. I think 4 units. They made the same request 10 years ago and it was turned down. So it's another case of demolition by neglect. They haven't apparently done any maintenance on it and have left it deteriorate to the point where it's harder to justify not demolishing it. And my understanding is that it's still pending before the Historic Conservation Commission. And I'll speak about them in the next courtesy of the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make a comment? Anyone to the right? That concludes our first public comment. Moving on to anything being voted on tonight for ordinances or resolutions. We have one person previously signed up, Valerie Noonan.
Hello. So I'm commenting on Resolution 10F on the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. Or the OCD ETF. So I looked up information about this, and what came up is that this is a federal program created originally by Ronald Reagan in the controversial war on drugs. And it collaborates with state and local authorities in collaborations like the one being proposed here. Generally, Bethlehem police do appear to take pride in being community-oriented and try to avoid the kind of controversies that plague many police departments across the country. But a move like this has the potential to move systems in our municipality to a more carceral and militarized direction. If you look at the website for the OCD ETF, they have a page of press releases consisting entirely of people they've sent to prison. nothing about how they've made communities safer. And for the resolution that is before us today, it doesn't really contain many details of what the actual responsibilities of the task force are. And the information I found when attempting to research the issue wasn't very enlightening, because most of it was either historical or directly from the program website. So really what I would like to see is I would encourage the city to apply closer scrutiny to this proposal, and personally I would be against it. Thank you.
Thank you. So as I mentioned, we only have one person sign up for a second public comment, so I'll start. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on this evening? I turn to the Wise Center. Mr. Chatter.
Item 10G from the HCC, the so-called boutique hotel and on West 3rd Street, 141 rooms. Doesn't sound too boutique-y to me, but it's the main part of the building, and you have a recommendation from the HCC, and it'd be nice if you overrode them again, and this time in the other direction. The main part of the building is six stories, which matches the better building right next to it. But then on one corner, there's this one and a half story tower, which brings it up to seven and a half stories. This is worth a historical thing that you should be aware of. When the mayor's task force on the zoning ordinance, the comprehensive plan, and the zoning map met about 12 years ago, and for some reason I was asked to be a member of it, I considered myself to be the token citizen on that task force. At that time, there was no height limit for the two downtowns. So in one, when we were going through the ordinance, a chapter a week, and when we got to that chapter at one meeting, and some people had already left, but I got an opportunity to raise this question and to propose a 100-foot height limit, which was adopted. The moderator of the meeting says he doesn't remember that happening, but I do. When it went from the mayor to the planning commission, that 100 feet had become 150 feet. And the planning commission, if you can believe this, not only approved it unanimously without amendment, they did not even have a single word of discussion. Then it went to city council. I had 26 amendments to the none of which were adopted, but there was some discussion. Now, recently, there was a consultant did a report on the south side and proposed 90 feet height limit, which would be about eight stories. That I understand the convention now is 12 feet per story. And that seems to have taken some hold, because the tower was proposed at 2 feet, which would have made the building 8 feet. And that would have been exactly 96 feet. So a member of the HCC proposed a half-story reduction, which reduced it to exactly 90 feet. So there we are. It's just a tower. But you know, as well as I do, it's going to be used as a justification somewhere down the line for an 8-story building. And as one member of the HCC said, well, in urban areas, the scale of the heights will vary. True. But I've never heard that argument used for smaller buildings, only larger ones. So why is that a problem? Well, this is a larger planning issue. Two reasons. First, it's not historically appropriate. Southside was not a borough at one time. of six-story buildings. A typical building in the downtown was three stories with retail on the first floor and two floors of apartments above it. These buildings have been disappearing. In fact, I think Third Street is gone. Fourth Street, there's still some hope. Although we do have Benner's seven-story apartment building in the middle. He does step it down on either side in a gesture to his neighbors, but it's seven stories in the middle. So, well, what's wrong with that? I think taller buildings make people feel smaller. That's why I would not choose to live in Manhattan. And now there are some people here who think this is a good thing that we get to see a tiny Manhattan on the Lehigh. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything that we're voting on this evening? And I'll turn to the right. Is there anyone to the right who wants to make comment on anything we're voting on this evening? That concludes our second public comment, and we'll recognize Mayor Reynolds to join us. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? We're going to move on to new business. A couple things that we'll go over briefly for new business and open it up to everybody. I will accept a motion and a second to set the date for adoption of the 2025 budget for the second council meeting in December, which is Tuesday, December 17th at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Kwiatek, second by Councilwoman Leone. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye, passes 7-0. Thank you. So I'm going to go over our schedule for the upcoming budget hearings. They're going to start on Monday, November 11th at 6 p.m. The first one will be here in Town Hall. First budget meeting is going to cover the Public Works Department, the Liquid Fuels Fund, the Stormwater Fund, the Non-Utility Capital Fund, the Water Fund Revenue and Expenses, the Water Capital Budget, the Sewer Fund Revenue and Expenses, and then the Sewer Capital Budget. So those are this Monday, November 11th at 6 p.m. The following evening, Tuesday, November 12th at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall, we'll have our second budget hearing. That's going to include the Golf Course Enterprise Fund, Administration's Budget, Council, Mayor, Treasurer, Controller, and Law Bureau's Budgets, our General Fund Revenues, our general Fund Expenses, our Civic Expenses, and then Debt Service. And then at the second Council meeting of November, Tuesday, November 19th, at 7 p.m., we'll have our City Council meeting, and that will be the first reading of the 2025 budget ordinances. And then on Monday, November 25th, again at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall, we'll have our third budget meeting. That will include the Community and Economic Development Department's budget, the Community Development Block Grant Fund, our Police Department, and then the Fire Department. And then we have Monday, December 9th at 6 p.m. scheduled for amendments, and that meeting will only be if necessary, if there are no amendments proposed, and we will not be meeting. And then we've also included as a backup date, Wednesday, December 11th, 2024, again at 6 p.m. That backup is in case we have to cancel a meeting for inclement weather, anything like that. We'll push everything back in terms of the schedule I just read to wrap it up potentially with amendments on Wednesday, December 11th. And again, that's only going to be as necessary. So that is our budget hearing schedule coming up starting next week. Couple other general things I want to touch on. I would like to welcome a junior council member from Schwäbisch Gmünd, our sister city in Germany, Mr. Luca Krieger, who's in the back row to my right. Schwäbisch Gmünd has a junior council, which is elected and works as an advisory council to the city council. So Mr. Krieger is going to be here with us in Town Hall, at City Hall, observing Bethlehem government for about the next 2 weeks. He's currently a student studying industry, and he'll be moving on to, I believe, Rhode Island to visit an industrial site for a company that he's involved with. So again, welcome, Mr. Krieger. I encourage all members of the council to introduce yourselves after the meeting if you haven't had an opportunity to yet. And I thank all the members of the administration who have worked with Mr. Miller so that we have a schedule of things that Mr. Krieger could participate in and observe what we do here in Bethlehem and how we administer our government. Another announcement that previously we had announced a public hearing for a zoning text amendment involving 119 Technology Drive that has been withdrawn by the applicant. So the public hearing for the next council meeting is canceled. And that's at the applicant's request. Last piece of business, just for new business, and I'll mention as we get to communications, referring something to committee. I did just want to note, so our parking authority currently falls under the Public Safety Committee. Over the years, we've kind of kicked around different things with as issues revolving the parking authority or one of their assets or the citations have come up where the parking authority should be housed. I am considering for the next council meeting looking at kind of the scope of every committee and potentially, and it'll be right into the record at the next meeting if I submit it, looking at changing the scope of what each committee looks at. Again, it's been talked about over the years as it relates to the parking authority, some of it's community economic development, some of it's public safety, but I will be looking at the scope of the committees and recommending any other potential council rule changes for the near future. So that's what I have for new business. Any other new business for members of council? Start with Councilman Leo.
First and foremost, I wanted to give a big shout out to Chief Reich, who was over at the banana factory yesterday. I mean, I've said it to him 1,000 times, but I think it should be said in a public forum. There was an intensity to the banana factory yesterday, and I couldn't be more proud of how the city was represented by the way it was handled, ensuring the safety, not just Chief Reich, we had quite a few first responders there. There was an emergency, the EMS came, the police came for a little incident, and I'm just beyond proud to have such quality people serving the city. It was handled so well. The temperature was kept agreeable. It went off without a hitch. Everybody was able to vote. I'm just incredibly proud of the work that was done yesterday. You, the paramedics, and the police officers that showed up. It was wonderful. Also, thank you for the memo that was sent out. There was quite a bit of discussion had about the parking authority, and the genesis point for that was the only thing that I could see the parking authority being public safety related was assessing fines. Everything else felt more community or economic development, and because we are a council and we don't make decisions independently, it just felt best to talk with our solicitor about the best way to do this. The best way seemed to be put a memo out there, see how council feels about it, and discuss it. So thank you for considering the memo, considering just, I guess, kind of some of our view on, well, my view specifically on what the role of the parking authority is in relation to public safety. So I look forward to having further discussion about that. That's all.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council for new business? Councilwoman Francis Smith?
I just wanted to clarify, sorry if I'm not easy to understand, but I just brought up the issue because my concern is, again, it's not a matter of, you know, whether or not I agree with changing jurisdictions of committees, but I feel it's really important that we follow protocol, and that's why I did ask what is the protocol, because I think it's important that we can't, you know, we don't, while I see the merit in looking at this for sure, we just need to follow the protocol, which my understanding is that an ordinance has to be proposed to change any jurisdiction of a committee to another committee. Is that not correct?
Sure. Bless you. It would be a resolution, so council members may recall earlier this year we amended our council rules. There were, I believe, 3 council rules amendments. So just for everyone following along, so council has their various committees. There's 6 committees. three members of council serve on each committee. Each committee has a chair. In our council rules, there's a defined scope of each committee. Parking authority has falls under public safety committee, as Councilwoman Leone referenced. There's been a lot of talk about the parking authority recently. You're going to hear about a proposal that's going to be sent to undefined committee right now. And then we have looked at the council chairs for public safety and community and economic development and kind of talked about where parking authority should be housed in terms of the scope of each committee. So the my understanding, and I don't chair either committee, but is that no committee meetings are going to take place regarding the communication that's going to be read until I have an opportunity to address potential rule changes to council, which would happen at subsequent meetings following tonight. So but to answer your question more directly, Councilman Cramsey Smith, as I get background, yeah, in our council rules to amend them, our council rules state, and I'm going by memory, but that a resolution has to be proposed to amend the committees. There has to be a certain amount of time that each council member has that resolution and before council could vote on it. So then it would be a roll call vote to amend our council rules. Parking authority has historically, someone who used to chair public safety committee and had committee meetings involving the parking authority become this sort of, again, it's included under public safety, but it's been talked about for community economic development. I mean, that's where we landed last year as it related to the parking garage, having a committee of the whole meeting to get everyone together, or that was earlier this year, excuse me. That was calendar year 2024. So I think taking a look at before we have the committee meeting to review Councilwoman Leone's memo, looking at the scope of those committees, and then I like I said, would put forward a communication for with the intention of the next council meeting if I'm going to look at if my belief, and I want to propose a change to the council rules to put public safety under community economic development as it. Yeah, again, I see merits to each side. It's just hard to say public safety should be under this committee if it's this particular issue versus under this committee for this other particular issue. So,
I understand. I guess I'm just making the point because I didn't know anything about this change except via the memo, and then I did speak to Council McQuiatek, but I just want to make sure that we're following proper procedure because it felt like you had even said that you were going to let the chairs decide and make those changes. And again, I just want to be clear that, you know, that all council is involved in changes like this and that we follow proper procedures, which thank you to our solicitor who sent us those procedures in writing. So that's just my point. Thank you.
Understood. Any other new business from members of council? Councilman Laird?
Yeah, I just wanted to recognize a note of appreciation to Ms. Rothman for her report tonight. The EAC is a really excellent example of our community's civilian engagement in the community itself. And it has been doing really excellent work and shown a ton of dedication. So I appreciate the work of you and everyone on the committee. Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council? All right, we're going to continue on with the agenda. Communication 6A.
An October 30th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum seeks support to apply for a $1 million local share account grant from the Pennsylvania Community Financing Authority, requesting funds for development and construction of the Greenway Trail Gap following acquisition.
And Resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
An October 30th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum seeks support to apply for a grant totaling $40,000 from the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. If received, funding would be used to update the Northside Alive plan and potentially apply for an Elm Street designation.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda this evening. 6C.
An October 30th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. The memorandum seeks support to apply for two Main Street Matters grants totaling $1.3 million to the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. If received, funding would be used for the first phase of Gateway on 4th Mixed Income Housing Development.
And resolutions 10C and 10D are on the agenda this evening. 6D.
An October 30th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce Foundation by and through with Citizens Christmas City Committee. Sub-permittees are Country Club Brewing LLC, Franklin Hill Vineyards Incorporated, Social Still LLC, and McCarthy's Irish Pub Incorporated. The agreement is for the 2024 Christmas Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Event hours will be 4 to 7 p.m. on November 29th. The agreement covers Payroll Plaza and the south side lane of Church Street in front of City Hall and the library complex.
And resolution 10 is on the agenda this evening. 6E.
An October 30th, 2024 memorandum with proposed resolution and agreement from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. Solicitor Spurk recommends an agreement between the City and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General, Bureau of Narcotics Investigation and Drug Control.
And resolution 10F is on the agenda. And 6F.
An October 14th, 2024 memorandum from Rachel Leone, Chairwoman of the Council's Public Safety Committee. Ms. Leone recommends that a proposal to amend the residential parking permit ordinance would more appropriately be considered by the Council's Community Development Committee. She recommends the Council authorize the transfer of this consideration.
And that was what we were referencing with this will be referred to committee for a meeting date yet to be scheduled, and any committee consideration along with the date and time will be announced in the future. Moving on to reports, I don't have anything to report this evening. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I have two administrative orders. The first one is I hereby appoint Nikita Capasso, 1170 Arcadia Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Bethlehem Human Relations Committee, and this appointment is effective through March of 2026.
Administrative Order 2430 of Nikita Capasso to the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. Call roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll ask everyone to mute who's not currently voting. Thank you.
So second administrative order, I hereby appoint Esmeralda Nazario, 1729 West North Street, Bethlehem, PA, 1808, to the Civil Service Board, and this appointment is effective through October 2028.
Administrative Order 2024-31, Esmeralda Nazario to the Civil Service Board. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion on the appointment. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. And then just two other quick updates. This is also the first meeting since we had our World Heritage Inscription event, and I know many of you were there. I was not because I was under the weather. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we've had a lot of people reach out to us from a lot of the informal conversations that members of council had, with just nothing but glowing remarks for all of you that were at the multiple ceremonies and the dinner, about just the overall vibe and feeling in Bethlehem and our elected officials. And I want to thank everybody for coming to as many of those events as you could. It really meant a lot to both us and our international partners. And like I said, we got quite a few emails afterwards and communications that it really meant something to everybody. And, you know, it's not just been a long journey for us, but it's been a long journey for the other countries. It was just, it was special that everybody was able to attend. So I want to thank everybody for coming. And then also just to follow up on Ms. Rothman's report, next Wednesday at, I believe it is 9 a.m., we have our Climate Action Plan annual update right here, where we will be sharing what our implementation groups have been working on over the past year. There's 9 of them. Some of you may remember that when the Climate Action Plan was first introduced or proposed back in January of 2017, it was right around when the United States had chosen to pull out of the Paris Agreements. And you know, one of the things that we talked about at the time was we didn't know what was going to happen, obviously, at the state and federal level as far as climate action was concerned. And we were both inspired and obviously incredibly impressed by how many people in the city of Bethlehem wanted to be a part of that process. And you know, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen as far as climate action is concerned, or sustainability, or any of those things that we've worked so hard on. But I am, and we had some conversations about this today, you know, what we have built here in our city between our EAC and the administration and our community and our climate action plan and our road to sustainability and all the things we've done and all the things that we're working on, I think is a very apt time next week to be giving that update, both on what we've accomplished in 2024, as well as what those goals are that we are setting for 2025 that are consistent with the climate action plan. And that plan has obviously been very, very important in allowing us to be able to acquire a lot of the other grant funds that we have gotten to rebuild parts, to acquire the Greenway, to do all of the West Broad Street work that we're working on now as far as the engineering, the grant agreements are concerned. And a lot of that success has grown directly out of the Climate Action Plan process. I know I've thanked Lynn many times for everything she's done with EAC, for helping be a part of that process. But you know, it is sometimes we get lost, I think, in the grind of progress, some of the things that we are accomplishing as a community with everything that's going on. But next Wednesday is going to be just going to be an hour. It's going to be an opportunity to hear about all of the great things that are going on in the world of sustainability as far as the city is concerned. Thank you, President Clark.
Thank you, Mayor Rounds. Moving on to ordinances for final passage. We have one this evening. Mr. Miller, Bill 43-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 43-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatkowski and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. No new ordinances tonight. Moving on to resolutions, 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a local share account grant through the Pennsylvania Community Financing Authority for the Greenway Trail Gap Development Construction, and that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute such agreements and documents as are deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion on the resolution. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a Main Street Matters planning grant to update the North Side Alive plan and potentially apply for Elm Street designation, and that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute such other agreements and documents as are deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for Main Street Matters grant to be used toward the first phase of the Gateway on 4th Mixed Income Housing Development, and that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute such other agreements and documents as are deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quintec?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for Main Street Matters grant to be used toward the first phase of the Gateway on 4th mixed-income housing development, that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute such other agreements and documents as are deemed necessary and or related thereto. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10E.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce Foundation by and through its Citizens Christmas City Committee for the 2024 Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion.
Question. The sub-permittees here include brewery, distillery, vineyard, and pub. Is this the first time that we would be, I assume this means we are, there would be alcohol sold at this event, is that correct? Is this the first time that there's alcohol being sold at the tree lighting?
I think they had it last year. Leo was like 2 months, so I was worried about him getting out of the cold, so I don't remember exactly. But I think that I thought they might have, but I...
It was last year.
Yes.
So last year was the first year,
yes.
But it was approved last year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, all I was remembering was cocoa and cookies, so...
I think you probably can still have cocoa and cookies. That's still offered. Nobody's forcing anybody to have anything.
Yes. Okay, I was just wondering if it was new this year. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion on the use permit agreement? We'll call roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General, Bureau of Narcotics Investigation and Drug Control. The agreement shall become effective upon signature by both parties and shall end on December 31st, 2024, after which the agreement shall automatically renew for successive one-year terms unless terminated earlier in accordance with the terms of the agreement. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Chief, before I open it up to members of council for discussion and questions, can you please give us some background on this task force and how this would potentially change police operations?
So the individuals named to the task force are handpicked by myself, and they would still remain full-time employees of the City of Bethlehem Police Department. This is a part-time assignment that would be through overtime details. And the whole goal, the purpose of this partnership is the investigation, apprehension, and prosecution of drug traffickers and drug trafficking organizations in the state of Pennsylvania. Ms. Noonan is correct. This is a federal program. However, this MOU that we're entering into is with the state of Pennsylvania Attorney General's office. The scope of the task force is drugs, and I'm talking considerable amount of drugs alone. It wouldn't be anything involved in immigration or anything else that there are other task force, other joint operations for. It's just clearly the scope of this task force is laser focused on drug trafficking and the movement of considerable amount of narcotics.
Thank you, Chief. Open it up to discussion for members of council. I'll start with Councilwoman Laird.
One question right off the bat would be, is there a reason why Bethlehem is being approached at this time for a partnership like this?
Yes. And again, I'm trying to be modest, but we're the best. I'm very proud of our police department. I'm very proud of our police department, and we are being sought out by these agencies. And they want us to participate. One of the things I failed to mention is any of the joint operations has to come through my office as well. So I have to sign off on it. Palmer Township, the Allentown Police Department, and Upper McCungee Police Department have already signed on to this partnership. It basically affords us the opportunity to capitalize resources and expertise. Something that I mentioned to Councilwoman Leon prior to the meeting was they're in desperate need of Spanish-speaking officers for various details where the individuals that are their individuals being interacted with only speak Spanish. So we have a number of Spanish-speaking officers here in the city that would be able to help with those various tasks and activities.
Thank you. Would the work that the officers appointed to this task force, would it be local? Like, would they be staying local to be doing this work, or would they be working on statewide?
Yes, ma'am. So it would be here in the Lehigh Valley. They would be working from Allentown out to Easton. Again, if they were to travel any further, it would have to go through my office. And I will be upfront and honest, we don't have the personnel that I can be sending officers across the state to Erie and other, you know, counties.
I'll let some others go. There might be some more things rattling around in there.
Any other questions for Chief Cox? Councilwoman Leo?
Are we free to, like, kind of back out of this at any point?
Absolutely. So I have to give 30-day notice. If I'm not satisfied, this MOU is current for 2024, and then it would be current for a year. But again, we have that option to back out 30 days if not satisfied.
And where it's a way to share resources, so Bethlehem would benefit. My thought process here is this is a way of the police officers to get more resources without us having to spend more money within our own budget to do so.
Correct. More training, more resources available, intelligence gathering and sharing amongst local and state agencies, as well as just the resources that come from these investigations as well. Being able to get our officers that experience.
Nice to know that they want our Spanish-speaking officers. I remember it was 2 years ago we talked about the language and the budget for the language, so it's good to see that that's paying off in professionalism. Also, this is just a thought, and I want you to confirm this. You're targeting high-level people who are actually, like, dealing in, so this is not going to be targeting anybody who might be suffering under the burden of addiction, but this is targeted at, like, drug dealers, not people.
We're talking about drug traffickers that are moving a high quantity of products. And our close proximity to New York City as well as Philadelphia put us in that sweet spot, unfortunately, yeah, for a lot of drugs that are coming in. In a few weeks, I'm going to be giving my budget presentation. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is giving you some stats from our year. And methamphetamine is a real issue in our community right now. And it's something that I want our officers to focus on because we're seeing a high level of it being dealt here in the, not only the Lehigh Valley, but in the city of Bethlehem.
Thank you. Those were all my questions.
Any other questions for Chief Connor?
Thanks. So just to confirm then, this is a Commonwealth Office of the Attorney General. So the funding comes from the federal government, but it's not, you're not working with DOJ directly. It's all within the state.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you can't disclose maybe too much, but do the officers in the task force, do they work undercover? Do they do things like that?
There's a possibility of that. Going to various mail sorting locations a large quantity of narcotics are, believe it or not, mailed. So doing interdiction at a mail, you know, sorting facility is going to be part of the detail, as well as, you know, undercover operations and the intelligence gathering. And,
and so is it more focused now on things like methamphetamines, fentanyl, oxycodone, like that kind of
correct
stuff?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Less so on marijuana?
Yes.
I mean, is that just not a big emphasis anymore, or do they still...
I don't want to speak for the task force, but they would have to be moving a very high quantity of product to... And a lot of places surrounding us in New Jersey, New York, marijuana is legal.
Legal, right, yeah.
So
that's not really as much of an issue. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Councilwoman Walker.
Just one more small detail regarding the officers themselves, just to help me understand. So you select the officers, they receive some special training after that?
Receive special training, and I forgot to mention, forgive me, they also have to undergo a background investigation through the Attorney General of Pennsylvania's office.
So
it's difficult to get someone on the task force.
Got it. And then does this become their full-time assignment, or is it something that they do, they're sort of pulled, they continue to do their typical duties and then are pulled as needed?
They will do their typical duties. They'll continue to serve the residents of the city of Bethlehem, and it will be an overtime assignment.
I'm sorry, I said that.
And overtime, I forgot to mention, will be reimbursed through the PA Attorney General's office.
Okay. Thanks for re-clarifying that. That's my only question.
Any other discussion from members of council?
President Colon, I just had one question.
Yes, Councilwoman.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Thank
you, Chief, for all the information. I was just wondering, Pam, do you know if there would be any grant opportunities available through this? Because I remember years ago we had the Route 222 anti-gang, anti-drug task force, and I'm not sure if it was Fed or state money, but there was there were grants available. A guy even applied for one to use in the school with kids who were at risk of being in gangs and getting involved in drugs.
Yes, there will be... not so much through grants, but asset forfeiture. So our vice unit here in the city of Bethlehem, again, I'm stealing my thunder from the budget presentation, but was able to seize over $2 million this year. And that money goes to the district attorney's office, but we receive some of that funding back, whether it be for training of our officers, for equipment. A few years ago, I'm not sure if you remember, our forensic services unit was able to buy new alternate light sources for the use in their forensic investigations. So we will get funding back from our participation in this program.
Okay, great, because I remember that program, it was probably 15 years ago, it was really great, and I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure you have ideas on how to use it, but the one thing is, it was really helpful that when we were able to use it in the schools to target students at a younger age that may get involved in drugs and gangs as far as a prevention measure. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Laird.
A couple additional questions. So under the new administration at the state and federal levels that is coming in, is this program expected to continue, or like has there been any discussion of whether things like this would continue?
No one has contacted me, so I'm not sure. I can reach out to the agent that is in charge that I've been dealing with again to see, you know, what the status of that may be, but I have no indication at this point that the program would be ending.
And then in terms of collaboration with other agencies, you mentioned mail facilities, and I had always been under the impression that crimes that were involving the mail system automatically became federal crimes and were investigated by the U.S. Postal Inspector General.
Yes.
So why would our local officers be investigating at mail facilities?
So they would be assisting with the sorting.
Okay.
That occurs when, you know, looking for the narcotics.
And would they be under the purview of the U.S. Postal Inspector General then?
No, it would be through the PA Attorney General's office. So the PA Attorney General would be working with the mail.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Mr. Miller, we'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Ms. Colombo? Correction, Mr. Colombo.
Passes 7-0. Thank you, Chief Cott. Going to move on to our certificates of appropriateness. Mr. Miller, 10G.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 14 through 36 West 3rd Street to secure a COA from revisions to an 8-story structure previously approved in June of 2021. The proposed building now hosts hotel use rather than ground floor commercial storefronts and multifamily residential dwellings above. Facade revisions include window sizes and placements, addition to rooftop dining space, structural canopy at the lobby entrance, and other material changes. This is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the certificate of appropriateness?
I have a question.
I'll start with Councilwoman Leon and then Councilwoman Ramsey Smith.
Thoughts. I have quite a few thoughts about this. One of them was it was always going to be something. So for context to anybody who's like spatially unaware of what building we're talking about, it's the one right across from the Banana Factory, right next to the New Street building that's kind of propped up with 2x4s. I'm on the right side. Cool. If you walk by it, it's quite obviously a hazardous building. It's extremely deteriorated. The original thing was going to be student housing. Now it's this hotel, which again, we live in the great United States. We can't tell people what to build when it's in private hands. So I've been thinking about how I feel about this hotel going there, and I had some time to talk to some of the Riverport guys, people who live around there, and get their feedback. So, I think a couple of things can be true at the same time. I think the historic preservation in South Bethlehem, there has not been the strongest line on historic preservation in South Bethlehem. Third Street is kind of an example of that, but also economic development comes, and economic development helps people that live within South Bethlehem, the businesses that live within South Bethlehem, the homeowners that live within South Bethlehem, and were able to sell their houses at a much higher rate than what they bought them from. So I think it's a very nuanced conversation regarding this hotel. So it's not a contributing structure. It's a better use than what's there. It's going to finish the greenway. I'm correct with that, Laura, right? Like, this is going to close up that section of the greenway that's currently being used for like delivery. And it's going to be kind of proportionate to the cultural arts center that's going across from it. So I was trying to think about this hotel through the lens of, could this be a win for South Bethlehem? So I looked into the numbers at Wind Creek and how often they're filled. And they actually have quite a high demand over there. They're not often vacant. There is a desire for people to be staying in South Bethlehem in hotels. And now we offer them the Comfort Suites, or we offer them Wind Creek. So this is a way to offer them something additional to that. And to see a boutique hotel want to be in South Bethlehem without them asking to build a parking garage for them or anything like that. From my understanding of the last 3 years of looking into economic development and what an economic win looks like, to me this is an economic win. This is a high-end hotel that wants to be in South Bethlehem and is not asking us to do anything other than say, yeah, go ahead. And if we say no, it's still going to be a building of a similar height, because that height was already approved through the HCC. And I think that this is a way to bring new energy to that area. The Cultural Arts Center is also there, but there are also other things that can use some eyes on in that area. There are some buildings that have heavy deterioration, you know, like, hey, the Tank Farm doesn't look that great. So this, I believe that this could be a very good thing for South Bethlehem. I hope that community members continue to engage along the process of what they want the Greenway to look like, of what they like, encouraging the best businesses to go into that ground floor so that it's not another vacant storefront for 13 freaking years. So I'm really excited to see what could happen there, which is a very hard right from my vote on the banana factory, and I'm aware of that, but this just seems like a good economic win for South Bethlehem, for the businesses that are going to be surrounding South Bethlehem, for the restaurants that really, really, really need help. We're seeing them close at too high of a rate on the south side, so I'm excited to see what can happen there.
Thank you, Councilwoman. I'm going to turn to Solicitor Stewart briefly just to remind everyone, while there's merit to a lot of different perspectives, just to what the scope of what we're actually voting on is.
And I will be referring to section 8004 of the relevant statute, stating that any governing body in determining whether or not to certify the appropriateness of the erection, reconstruction, alteration, restoration, demolition, or razing of a building in whole or part shall consider the effect with which the proposed change will or the effect which the proposed change will have upon the general historic and architectural nature of the district. The governing body shall pass upon the appropriateness of the exterior architectural features which can be seen from a public street or way only, and shall consider the general design, arrangement, texture, material, and color of the building or structure, and the relation of such factors, similar features of buildings and structures in the district. The governing body shall not consider any other matters not pertinent to the preservation of the historic aspect and nature of the district. And that is state statute, which is also reflected in our local ordinances.
Thank you, Attorney Stewart.
Because I meant to ask the question before I went on my diatribe about how quick this could be.
Ask your question.
Thank you so much. If we say no, doesn't it just default to the height that is already currently allowed within the original proposal that was given in 2021? We can't relitigate that. I guess my question is, can we relitigate the height that was given in 2020?
You are passing upon the certificate of appropriateness. I don't have the entire ordinance in front of me right now. So I did have it pulled up earlier, and I apologize. So I can't read to you from it in terms of what you can state. If you deny a COA, that denial has to be written, and you can say, you know, this is why we find it inappropriate, why we denied it, and these are the corrections that could be made. There's also an appeal process set forth in the ordinance.
Okay.
Does that help?
No. Sorry. So if we denied this, mm-hmm. it would just go back to whatever previously was approved by council, whether this council or a previous council, that's the height that was originally given to the building.
I'm not sure I understand your question. If you deny...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go
please.
Ahead. Clarify the question.
This is a revision to a previous application. So a COA was already awarded. I'm going to turn to the administration, just to correct me if I'm misstating anything, but council has already awarded a certificate of appropriateness for this project. Now there's a application for a revision, which is outlined in the narrative that we were given. So my understanding is deny, there's still an approved certificate of appropriateness to engage in building what's approved over there. So I'll turn to Mayor Reynolds, Ms. Collins, Mr. Spurk, whoever would want to weigh into kind of the mechanisms of what we're voting on.
Mr. Spurk's getting up there. There is an approved certificate of appropriateness for a building that wasn't built. This particular applicant went to the HCC multiple times. I'm not sure how many times they went. And part of the reason why this building is recommended and was recommended by the HCC, I believe unanimously, was because there was agreement on the changes that were made. It was both from the applicant and from the members of the HCC that they appreciated the conversation. They made several suggestions at the first meeting, they came back at the second meeting, So yes, there is a current COA that if nothing got approved, it would still be standing. But that process over the past several months has included multiple trips to the HCC to improve. And judging by their unanimous vote and also the minutes and the conversation, there was agreement. And as far as the changes that were made were an improvement over the one from a couple of years ago. So I think that that's a little background there as well. Mr. Spurk.
Yeah, just as a brief legal matter, I would emphasize one thing that Attorney Stewart read before. You have to consider the effect of the proposed change on the general historical nature of the district. The proposed change from what? The proposed change from what's already been approved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Nate Stewart. So I think you've already read the words. It's the effect of the proposed change, I think, is really what you're considering, and it's a change from what's already been approved.
Yes, thank you to both of you for that background, which I'm coming on the tail end of that, so I appreciate that.
Sorry, I should clarify that.
Does that give you some clarity, Councilwoman?
Crystal.
Councilwoman Cramsey Smith.
Okay. Thank you. I just have a question. I'm not sure maybe Ms. Collins can answer. I'm wondering, is the height of this building going to be the same or less or more than the building that adjacent to it, the Zest building, as well as the Banana Factory building? Are you aware of that offhand? How that will align with the other buildings in that area?
I do not have the height of the other buildings in the area, but the height that was approved in the original COA, I believe, was 88 feet, and the height that is approved here is, I believe, 90 feet. So that's the comparison that I was looking at.
Okay.
The third and new building is comparable. I just don't know the exact height off the top of my head.
The third and new is comparable. Okay. And I tried to look at the plans, but any idea where will the entrance be, like the car entrance to the hotel? Because the one thing is really worried about traffic, how it backs up there. And I know it may not have something to do with the historic architecture of the building. However, it's certainly going to impose on the historic area.
The proposal has a carport on Third. On the westernmost portion of where the building would end, so there would be sort of like a U-shaped carport where cars would sort of circle in, drop off, and circle out there.
So closer to Lake Comfort Suite, so it would be correct. Farther away from where the traffic backs up, hopefully, I'm thinking?
Correct.
The other thing, and again, I know we have to look at it from the historic perspective, but I'm thinking also, it's important to look at it, our role within the city is, what about the need for it? And thank you to Councilwoman Leon for talking about Winfrey, but do we have any idea on where we're at with hotels in the area, like vacancies or, the overcrowding or the need for hotel units in this area?
In the most recent conversations I've had with the Silver Lehigh Valley folks who track this pretty closely is that, in the area we see about 80% occupancy rate in hotels, which is very high. We've heard from them that there is indeed a need for and a value in additional hotel rooms in the area. So I think that's been a figure that we've looked at, and I think had thought that there would be capacity for additional hotel rooms.
Okay. All right, I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
No, I just want to say that I'm on agreement with this. I think if you look at the property as it is right now, there's really nothing that's historic on the property. I think I think Ms. Collins is 100% correct. I think don't quote me on it, but I think the occupancy rate at the Sands or at the Wind Creek is in the high 80s and low 90s, which is astronomical. And I think it is a need within the city. Ms. Collins, do you have any idea what the proposed taxes will be coming in on it once it's finished?
I have not calculated that, no.
All right. Yeah, I think if you look at the property right now, the amount of taxes that we're probably taking in city county disclosure is minimal. And I think if you look at the amount of taxes that will be paid city, county, and school district once it's done, and including all the new jobs that will be brought into that area. And I think it's a win-win for the South Side, so I will be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Laird?
A comment. It sounds like the proposed developer or owner here has been working back and forth with the HCC, is what I'm hearing, which I'm really glad to hear that there's been conversation both ways. And I see the note in the proposal that the applicant would be returning to the HCC for some further conversation about the details to help it blend in. So I appreciate that as well, and think it's a good example of how we can balance things in our development. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quitek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Pass 7-0. 10-H.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 116 West Graham Street to install 22 solar panels on the roof. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quitek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10-I.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 125 East 3rd Street to secure a COA to install a perforated vinyl window decal to the glass storefront window. Decal size is 3 feet 9 inches by 4 feet 4 inches. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call.
I just wanted to say, I believe this is Paranormal Pizza, and I'm very excited that they found a home on the South Side, so very excited to vote for this.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith? Ms. Ramsey Smith? Ramsey Smith?
Councilwoman, can you hear us?
Okay. Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
I'm sorry, Ms. Quintero.
Aye.
Councilwoman Ramsey Smith, can you hear us?
Sir, I got knocked out. I'm sorry. Yes, aye on that last vote.
Did everyone accounted for?
They are now.
Aye.
7-0 passes. 10-J.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 312 East 4th Street to replace existing metal door and frame at the northwest corner entrance. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quitek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 7-0. And lastly, 10-K.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 1006 Prospect Avenue to remove rotten portions of both side porticos and rebuild to match existing, and to remove four small tent roofs on the sides of both side porticos. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
President Clark?
Yes, Councilwoman?
I just have one question. I just want to make I'm clear on this. They're not looking at demolishing the whole home, just part of it, correct? The way I read it, it is only parts of it, but I just want to ensure that it's not the entire home.
I believe that's correct. Let me
reread it real quick?
Yeah, I think this is a house that's being worked on a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty
thorough rehab. It's just a few blocks from my house. It's the only reason I
thought. That's my love, everyone. I'm sure it's not in here at all.
Everyone's saying yes.
Okay, thank you. Good.
We'll call roll.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
And Mr. Glom?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safely, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.
Real quick.